20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter, at Andy Herman NFL. It is not just any episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is the night before training camp episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, excuse me. And of course, there's nobody better to join us, to help us with this, than the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can follow him on social media, at JUMOSQ, of course, acmepackingcompany.com. Justice, we are one day away, as people are listening to this, about a day and a half away as we are recording this. It feels real. It feels tangible. We've got a lot to discuss, but before we get there, how are you doing?
Doing great. I'm playing a lot of the college football video game right now.
All right. Let me just say, it's a heck of a Hail Mary win on your part. I saw the post on social media.
For the Natty, my Mississippi State Bulldogs.
I should have just done this as like a full interview. Coach, tell us about what you were going through in the moment that you won on a Hail Mary in the national championship game.
Yeah, Coach Haywood Jablomi, doing very well at Mississippi State right now. It was a little test franchise. I got like a 32 team user franchise going right now. A bunch of people in sports media and the apparatus of it and stuff. And it's always fun to get into, and I feel bad for Addie right now. At least Love Island is over now, because she was taking up the TV and I was itching. I'm like, how much longer? How much? And I'm like, yeah. So Love Island's over. So now I get free use of the television pretty much whenever I want. But yeah, I'm ready to get to work. If this has taught me anything, it's that I need more things to do in this little dead period between minicamp and training camp.
Well, the good news, I guess good news maybe for you, is that it's almost over. Training camp is officially here. And of course, Packers had a lot of news on Monday, including a huge new contract for Zach Tom. Maybe personally for me, not as huge as I was expecting it to be. I love this deal for Green Bay. I totally get it from Zach Tom's standpoint. Tough to say no to $88 million that can go up to $92 million. The report, Justice, is a four-year, $88 million extension for Zach Tom. My understanding, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong on this, is this will be 4 years on top of his 2025 deal, which already exists, which is even more incredible that this is now 5 years remaining of Zach Tom. That, by the way, gets him to 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30 of his ages when he's going to be in the crux of that deal. This is a beautiful deal for Green Bay. I love it. What are your initial thoughts on it?
Yeah, man. Pretty much the same thing. Tom, I'm looking at the numbers right now. I don't know. So Andrew Thomas probably hasn't made it all pro. Christian Darrisaw probably hasn't made all pro. And those are the only guys that I see who are non all pro guys who've gotten paid more than him. So he didn't push up the offensive line market for a non pro bowler, which is kind of how you have to, or all pro, which is kind of how you have to look at these things. That's the way the agent market is kind of trending. You have like a bucket of all pros, you have a bucket of pro bowlers, and then it's, okay, are you a starting caliber guy that other people would want? Especially considering that Trey Smith just got 23 and a half to play guard and not tackle. And, you know, Tom is going to get 22. I know that can get moved up. I'm sure the incentives there are all based off of like all pro, Pro Bowl, Super Bowl type stuff. So hope he hits him, right? That would be great. But it's not that big of a factor. Really interesting deal. I think it was a really good number. I mean, again, Dan Moore got 20 and a half and he got 22. Dan Moore led the NFL in sacks allowed last year. So the difference is between Zach Tom and the sack leader, in, you know, a derogatory way, right? Is $1.5 million. If you want to think about it that way, the gap between him and the top of the market non all pros is much wider than where the Dan Moore fence is kind of set. And that's, those are kind of like the two like tent poles you have to think of, right? With these new contracts where it's like, okay, Dan Moore's on the low end, you know, highest paid non all pro is on the high end. And he didn't set another tent pole past yep. that. Right. So that's why it's kind of viewed as a positive. Some of the stuff is interesting on how some of these things are reported. And obviously, like, agent sources are the people who are feeding a lot of the news breakers, which is why I think Pelissero had it first and cited his agency, which, like, I have no issue with the agency or anything like that. But it came in with the, you know, highest signing bonus ever. Get that blaster out. I want people to know that this is a win. Let's get the media rallying around this. I gave you your little line that you can write about, right? The reason that is, so he got, I think it's like 30 million, 30.2, actually, I know the exact number, $30.2 million in the form of a signing bonus. The Green Bay Packers like to sign players to four-year contracts, which we've talked about when we talked about free agency and things like that, yeah. And how the Packers contract with both Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs were very unique in that the Packers had like two of five league-wide contracts that were over 3 years in yep. free agency. So players like to get to market quicker, right? Being able to renegotiate going into that year three of a contract is a lot easier when you're in a contract year than when you're not. See Elgton Jenkins, who signed a four-year contract and is going into year three, and the Packers are basically calling his bluff and are like, you're still under contract for two more years. We don't have to negotiate until next year. Yep. And that's if we want you, right? At the cap number, you know, they could save like $20 million or something like that in cap space next year by moving on from. So what the Packers do is, so from a cash perspective, right? Big signing bonus up front. Willing to give you that. And then it's basically non-guaranteed salaries moving forward past year one of the contract, which, like, you're going to keep the guy at least 2 years of the deal anyway. No one's getting cut before then. But then there's like things like rolling guarantees. Like Trey Smith has a rolling guarantee for the 2027 season that triggers the third day in 2026, right? Sure. Of the new league year. So for all intents and purposes, unless they want to move off the Trey Smith deal this upcoming offseason, he has 3 years of salary that's guaranteed, right? The Packers are only giving you that one, which is why they're giving you that giant signing bonus on top of the fact that Trey Smith is kind of a weird example here because he actually signed the four-year extension. Not a lot of players sign, you know, a four-year contract. But, you know, the Packers also like that length because, again, a point to Elgton Jenkins, you know, they could say like, hey, look, the market moved. We don't have to react to it yet. We have that extra year. That's why we gave you the money, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to see, you know, giant signing bonus. I even wrote like the headline, you know, on APC, I said, you know, historic contract because it is. I mean, they moved the signing bonus number up. Do you know who held the previous highest signing bonus before Zach Tom?
It was Bakhtiari and one other, all right, at 30 million. Bakhtiari and Tunsil.
Yep. At 30 million, and Zach Tom got 30.2. So, yeah, this is just kind of what the Packers do, man. Nothing too shocking about this deal. I always thought it was going to get done. It was just kind of a no-brainer for them. They have the cap space to be able to do this kind of stuff right now. I like the player. You know, underrated, you know, run blocker. I thought at times he was a little bit shakier this past season. We talked about how, you know, guys like Jake Matthews shouldn't be anywhere near the conversation of Zach Tom at this point. He signed for a higher average salary, four-year contract. Yeah, so 22.5 over a four-year deal. He got 38 guaranteed. Zach Tom is going to come under that. Plus, you know, you're talking about a 33-year-old who just signed that four-year contract compared to Zach Tom coming off of a rookie deal. And you essentially have him for a five-year contract, right? Because it's a contract extension. So you get the 1 year, then you get the four that are averaging the 22. Well, if you count all 5 years and you look at it as like a 5-year deal, it's 18, dude.
Yep.
It's 18. So
it's a huge deal for Green Bay.
I mean, when I tweeted it out and I put it on Blue Sky and I just said, you know, W, and then just put the link, like, win. That is a big win. Dude, when Dan Moore gets
20 and a half.
If Rashid Walker hit the open market, he might end up making more than Zach Tom next offseason.
Yeah, because he should get more than Dan Moore.
Yeah. So again, like, there's a lot of weird things.
Like when you went into this, because the number I had in my head was 25 mil, like 4 years, 100 was kind of what I had in my head.
Honestly, like the fact that Darrisaw got 26, I know he's a left tackle.
If you would have told me it was 4 years, 26 per year, I would not have batted an eye at it.
Yeah. And then, like, I guess, like, Trey getting 23 and a half. Yeah. That 26, 23 and a half range is probably what I would have expected. Them getting him at 22, good number, especially considering like the contract structure, right? Like, he's under contract until like what, like 2029 or something like that.
In all the prime years of his career. Like, it's just beautiful. Yeah. And, like, again, I'm usually, you know, how do I want to say this? I am team value when it comes to the Packers. Like, the more valuable contracts that you can get, the better. That's obviously huge for Green Bay. In general, I want the players to get paid for what they're worth. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think Zach Tom and his agent did like anything, like any terrible job here. It's tough to say no to 88 to up to $92 million on any sort of
contract. It's hard without the accolades, too. Hard without the accolades. I mean, I'm sure. I don't know how much this stuff influences it. I can only go off of stories that I've heard about the negotiating table and things like that. But there are like legitimate presentations and stuff that like both sides do with each other. Like, we just talked about that executives poll that had like 20
some guys that had Zach Tom
ranked ahead of Zach Tom. So, like, you know, when you're not seeing yourself on that list and stuff like that, and they're saying, hey, you want to sign for $88 million with a over $30 million signing bonus that'll hit your account instantly? Like, or do you want to play out this year? And we have the franchise tag. Like, it's tough. Yeah.
I think the other things too for Zach Tom, he's been like, for by all accounts, the consummate professional from day one getting to Green Bay.
I didn't know this until I looked into it. He's actually like their union rep for the NFLPA stuff, because I was covering.
Never mind, get rid of him. Tear up the contract.
No, but I mean, like, you know, that shows some sort of faith from the locker room.
The locker room, for sure. No,
decision making and stuff.
So he's got that. He's been, knock on wood, incredibly durable throughout the course of his career. I think the other thing is, of course, his tremendous flexibility and versatility to be able to play. Not that at this point anymore, you're probably wanting to move him any spot, especially based on the contract. But if need be, in a given game, in a given down, and whatever you need him to move a spot, he has the flexibility and ability to do so. And then I think the other thing too is there was no hold in, hold out, anything. He just kind of said, I'm just going to keep going about my business, let the contract take care of itself. And it did, and they signed, and it just, again, I cannot be more excited about Zach Tom being a Packer through these next 5 years, or at least under contract for the next 5 years. He's more than deserving of it. It seems like really good value for Green Bay. Still makes sense for Zach Tom. I just, there have been few deals that I've looked at that I'm just like, I love every part of this deal.
Yeah, it's a good contract. I mean, Lord willing, injury was, but like, that hasn't really been something that he's really dealt with in Green Bay, right? Like, he started the last two seasons in full. He might have played more full seasons already than Bulaga did, because that was always Bulaga's thing. Is Bulaga was always just like, he'd miss two here, three here, six there, right? But yeah, man, I'm good win. Hope he's happy.
Yep.
Again,
I don't think he's calling his parents tonight being like, only got 88 million. Like,
it a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I don't think there were tears on the phone call when he was able to call, you know, his parents or family and be like, I got some bad news, guys. Only 4 years, $88 million. I think that Mets is probably very happy.
Salad days are over.
Yeah, exactly. By the way, Andrew Thomas, believe it or not, did have one second team All Pro back in 2022. I did not expect that either. Darrisaw did not have any All Pros, but a second team All Pro.
Darrisaw is the tent pole. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Has Darrisaw made a Pro Bowl?
I didn't list it on Pro Football Reference, so I'm assuming he is not, but I didn't look into it that deeply either.
So then Tom is probably second highest without the accolades, but the gap is $4 million. And the gap underneath him, you know, the ceiling was $4 million higher than he signed for, and the floor was $1.5 million, which is the Dan Moore contract. So yeah, I mean, on the relative scale of that stuff, the way this stuff works, right? I mean, things just keep going up. The salary cap is going up $25 million per year per team. You would think that would continue to get pushed forward. Then in this case, that's a huge win for the Packers.
Would you rather have, you're starting a franchise today, you can either have Christian Darrisaw or Zach Tom. Who do you want?
I don't know. I'm going to lean Darrisaw and be honest here.
Which is a totally fine answer, by the way. The only reason I think I would go Zach Tom is because of the torn ACL and MCL that Darrisaw's already suffered.
That was the thing I was thinking. I was like, the injury. Like, that's the only qualm with me. Because I think Darrisaw is longer. He does better in the matchups against teams like Detroit and stuff like that, where they got a bunch of long guys who are rushing the passer. And, you know, he's pretty damn good as a run blocker, too. So,
yeah, I like Darrisaw a ton. That is not meant towards any disrespect towards Christian Darrisaw. I love them coming out of the draft. I think he's a phenomenal player. Again, the only thing that would lead me towards Tom would be the injury history. But you're pretty great with either of those decisions if you get to start your franchise with either one of those guys, to be totally honest. We'll be right back. One of the things that came out today as well is that this is not expected to affect the Elgton Jenkins situation in any way, shape, or form. I'm not exactly sure what that means or where things are at. I'm with you in the fact that there's 2 years left on the deal. I think Green Bay is probably just going to call their bluff. I think if it were me, I would try to throw him some sort of just like, hey, we'll give you a couple all-pro incentives or something like that to give you like a small win here. But I think to your point, they probably don't even need to. And I think Jenkins just needs to probably report at some point, maybe even if it's at the end of camp. But I don't know. I don't think anyone wants it necessarily to play out that way either. It's a weird situation.
I mean, it's tough. I'm all for the players getting their money. I do not know why his representation thought he had the leverage here. This is not how the Packers do business, right? They sign you to the 4-year contract because they want to have player options basically in year 3 and year 4, right? That's the whole point of why they give you the big signing bonus, right? That's the whole point of why they get you to sign the 4-year extension. To renegotiate literally midway through, he just finished year 2 of the extension, right?
Yep.
Midway through, the deal kind of negates the benefits of signing those type of contracts. So like the Packers either have to set the precedent of not signing these 4-year deals, right, and go into a 3-year model like the rest of the league, or they have to hold firm. And they've held firm against 2 Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They held firm with Jaire Alexander, a 2-time All-Pro cornerback who they released post-June 1. And then we're like, nope, give us the cap hit in one of the weirdest cap decisions I've ever seen in the NFL, right?
I'm going to try to ask Goody about that. Goody's going to talk to the media on Wednesday before camp. I'm going to try to ask him about that if I can, because it still makes no sense to me. The issue is, of course, he goes at 9:20. My radio show goes until 9, and I'm about 25 minutes away from being able to get to Goody. So there's going to be, if you see a car going down a highway,
you still get the bike.
41. Yeah. Yes. No, a car going down 41, probably a little bit too fast, between the hours of 9 a.m. and 9:20 a.m. on Wednesday. That would be me.
But yeah, I mean, if the Tom deal is any, okay. If you're going to take anything from this Tom deal and put it in relation to Elgton Jenkins, first of all, one thing I will point out is Elgton Jenkins is a Pro Bowler. Zach Tom has not been a Pro Bowler. Aaron Banks have not been a Pro Bowler. Both of those players are now making more, you know, average salary than Elgton Jenkins is. So that probably doesn't help on the ego end, right? Sure. If it's about the money, which I don't even really know if it's about the money. It's about the Packers committing to him moving forward. I know people have been like, well, he wants to get paid more because he's a center and he's changing position. I really don't think that that's what this deal is about. It's the fact that they can save $20 million next year in cap space by releasing Elgton Jenkins, right?
Or trading.
And he would, or trading, yeah. And he would like the team to not have that much flexibility, which is great. But I don't understand what type of leverage he has because he's still under contract for two more years. Like, he's going to miss these game checks. Like, is he going to wait until, what is it, week 10 when, you know, guys can have an accrued season? Maybe, but you're missing out on a bunch of game checks and the next year isn't going to toll. So, like, you're still – the Packers are still going to have your right. You're going to be in the Jair Alexander situation next year anyway, right?
Yep.
The second point is it doesn't seem like the Packers are moving away from this four-year commitment because they just signed Zach Tom to a four-year contract. And if they want to continue to sign these four-year contracts, they have to hold firm on their own Jenkins situation. Otherwise, guys are just going to get big signing bonuses up front and then just want to renegotiate after year two because the Packers are willing to do it for Elton. So why wouldn't they do it for them? So if Nate Hobbs can prove that he's, I'm actually a starting outside cornerback. I'm not a nickel corner like you paid me going into year two or coming out of year two. Why wouldn't he do the same thing Elton did and say,
for sure,
well, pay me way more, right?
Absolutely. And I'm with you. I think that makes it just, again, I don't think Green Bay is going to want to set precedents, as we've talked about before, going into the third year of the deal of like, yeah, we're willing to negotiate. Like, I could see if like Elton was, and maybe Green Bay could like figure out a year four compromise, which I don't think makes any sense for Elton, by the way.
Yeah. The thing that's so hard with it is like they have him on a fixed number and the numbers are going up. Like, what? Like, short of giving him a long-term extension, which I don't think that they're willing to do at this point.
Right.
Like, I don't know what makes sense for like one-year deal.
If Green Bay like says like, we'll cut your base salary from the 20 mil to the 10 mil, but we'll guarantee the 10 mil. Like, again, and there's no reason Elton would do that. Again, there's just,
yeah, because Tom is making 22 now. Exactly. And the guard that's lining up to the left of him is making what, the 19 and a half or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I can't.
It doesn't make sense.
Just,
and the only weird thing is like the only downside for this for Elton, I think, would be is if he gets hurt this year. Because if he plays, there's going to be value for him on that contract no matter what, going into next year. Like, he's going to still be wanted either by Green Bay or elsewhere in the NFL at that contract. So I could get if he's a little bit trepidatious. So here's how I think this goes. I think he's got, of course, the 2 years left on this deal. I don't think he has any real issue. I'm sure he'd like to make more this year, but I don't think there's any real issue with what he's making this year. I don't even know, again, to your point, that he's necessarily super upset with what he's making next year, other than, again, he saw the entire Jair Alexander situation play out and recognized that in that final
it's that
year,
the team is not committed to him. It's
exactly
that
he wants to be a Packer.
Right. There's no mechanism that forces the team to have to commit to him. This is another thing that Packers don't do, right? Where we were talking about the rolling guarantees and the Trey Smith contract and stuff like that. There's a lot of those things in contracts and roster bonuses and stuff like that, where it's like, hey, if you're on the team by, you know, the third day of the new league year, which is basically when free agency opens up, right? You get a roster bonus. Like, you get this money up front. Or next year's salary fully guarantees. Like, there's these mechanisms where even though you're not going to be, like, a free – like, the team still has to make some sort of level of commitment before a certain date, right? Which is why the Jair Alexander thing drug out so long and why you don't really see that in the NFL very often. Like, a lot of the cap casualties are happening early because there's cap ramifications if you keep a guy a week into the new league year. The Packers don't really have those set up in their contracts beyond, like, the first
couple years, maybe
year, maybe two years for some players. Like, I know they do it for, like, quarterbacks and stuff like that. That's totally different. But, like, there's no mechanism. So, like, Elton could be held in limbo next year. But again, the Packers want to have that option. And they just played out the entire Alexander situation. So
I think he recognized all of that and also recognized, again, the Jair situation and realized next year, you know, it's great to say, like, hey, we'll talk about this next year. But he recognizes, his agent probably recognizes, he has no leverage next year, just like Jair had none this year. He has absolutely none. So I don't think the move to center, so to speak, was like, oh, you're moving me to center, I want more.
I think it's almost like a complete non-factor.
Here's where I maybe disagree, though. I think the move to center is the one small piece of, like, any sort of leverage I can grasp onto of, like, oh, okay, you want me to move to center? Like, oh, I have a little something here. I have a little something of, like,
Josh Myers was calling all the protections, and now I'm not in camp, right?
Yeah.
So
if that's like the one sliver of thing, because I know I don't have any leverage to stand on in 2026. I am just dead in the water, just like Jair. Right. I've got nothing. Right now, I have a little bit, and I can potentially hold out or hold in, and you want me to move to center. So I'm going to say I want something, and maybe it doesn't work. Maybe, again, Green Bay calls his bluff. He's not going to start, you know, losing game checks, etc. And maybe it ultimately goes nowhere. But I could understand, at least to a very small extent, of, like, this might be his last, like, little life raft out there of any sort of leverage that he could potentially. And I get Packers fans don't want that. I already hate the leverage word already. I get it. But, like, that might be his last little inkling of, or his agent's last inkling of, we might have a little bit of something here. I don't think it works, but I can understand maybe why they would try to use it.
So, okay. Now that we've talked this through, this is great for the audience. Now that we've talked this through, I've found a potential compromise, Andy.
Okay.
That might make people happy. No money has changed in the contract. Maybe you throw him some incentives or something like that. I mean, it's going to be like, it'll be like what Tom's per year incentives. It's like $2 million per season or something like that. So let's call it something in that range where, you know, $500,000 for a Pro Bowl, $500,000 for a Pro Bowl, $500,000 for a Super Bowl win, and then throw the rest in per game
or something.
Actives, right? Like, okay, who cares at that point? Like, a lot of money to me and you, right? But NFL was dropping the bucket. Money.
Yep.
Elton shows up on one condition. The Packers have a date set in that contract.
I was thinking, it's so funny. You were talking through that, I'm like, that it actually makes the most sense.
So it's just, hey, make your decision. I understand it. I'm cool with the money if you keep me there, right? But let's just have a date that this has to be done by next offseason, right? So,
and it's
third day of
simple.
The league year, you either pay me or you let me go, you trade me, do whatever. I just don't want to be in limbo. I want to know where the heck I'm going by mid-March, right? I think,
and it's a super simple mechanism.
Actually probably works.
Because all you have to do is literally take the base salary. And
Packers do it all the time. I mean, they convert salary. I mean, that's how they push cap hits forward and stuff like that.
Yeah, but even just turn it into a roster bonus. So literally going from not even necessarily a signing bonus, but base salary $18.5 million next year, make that $1.5 million base and $17 million as a guaranteed roster bonus that hits the third day of the league year or something like that. So that Green Bay has up until the third day of the league year to figure it out, but have to decide by that point. That to me is a pretty fair compromise, especially if you add in some incentives on top of that as well.
If there's any movement on his contract and it's not just him walking back with the tail between his legs, I think it looks like that.
Which it's a win for Elton, and it's not really a big loss for Green Bay to be able to make that decision 3 days into the league.
I mean, they're still going to make the same decision. It's just
sooner.
Hey, man, just do it before all the free agent money is spent, right?
Russ Ball, that is at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL if you want any other contract advice on how to get these things done. We're right here for you. Of course, we had a couple other transactions through the course of the last, you know, 4 or 5 days or so.
Wait, I want to go back to one thing real quick. I forgot about this. He's on the NFI. So Elton Jenkins is on the NFI list, which is non-football injury, which isn't really true. It just means you got hurt outside of the facility, right? The NFLPA chief of strategy, J.C. Tretter, former Green Bay Packer, just had to step down from the NFLPA in part because it was revealed that he lost a grievance for the union against the NFL because he opened his mouth on the Ross Tucker podcast in 2023 and suggested that players who are unhappy about their contract situations should fake injury in a wildcat strike. Just something to think about. I you know, reckless speculation on my part.
Are you trying to tell me that Elton might not have a real injury, that this might just be a you know, that might clear up immediately as soon as some contract is, you know, if there was a renegotiation, that injury might just fade away into nothingness right after?
Look, I don't even know what percentage I would put it on, but if you guys ask Goot and LaFleur what Elton's injury is, I wouldn't be shocked if they don't want to comment on it or just don't answer it directly.
What we should try to do is ask, because a lot of times Matt's going right after Goody, and Matt doesn't listen to all of Goody's press conferences, ask Goody what the injury is, and then immediately ask Matt what the injury is and see if they add up from one to the other, or if it's like, oh, my back, oh, my knee, it's all different things. But yeah, hopefully, obviously, there's no major injury there for Elton. We don't need a contract situation and a injury situation, but that would
certainly not be good. What's up with Quay? Have you talked about Quay?
I talked about him for today, the episode on Monday. I don't know. I talked to Ryan Wood on the radio show as well to see if he had any sort of information on if he thought this was maybe a contract related thing. He had no intel either. I'm interested. So the one thing I will tell you is nobody had asked, like, we were up to like day three of minicamp and nobody had asked about Quay yet. So I finally go up to Waller's on Thursday and I'm like, what's up with Quay?
PR, right?
Yes. PR. Waller's PR. And I said, what's up with Quay? He said, I think he actually said something to the effect of like, yeah, we've been surprised nobody's asked yet. I'm almost positive he said, don't quote me on that. I thought it was something to that extent. But
but he had practiced, right?
No, he had practiced in OTAs. Okay, OTAs OTAs day one, he was on the bikes or something to that extent. I don't think he ever practiced in OTAs or minicamp. If you find something to contradict me on that, feel free to do so. I believe he was on like the bikes on day one of OTA, and then we never saw him at minicamp. The report was that everyone showed up to mandatory minicamp, but if my memory serves me, I don't think we actually ever saw Quay Walker at any portion of the minicamp. But the report was that he was there. And then when I asked Wallers about it, they said it's injury related and he's expected to be ready to go for training camp. Now he's not apparently ready to go for training camp. Although again, we're recording this on Monday. Training camp is not until Wednesday. Theoretically, just being placed on the PUP list, he could clear before then or clear like on Thursday or Friday, we've whatever. Seen that before. So there's still that possibility, but I don't know. Like, this could be, hey, you didn't pick up my fifth year option and I'm not happy about it. You've said literally, we've talked about it, that Goody was pretty adamant that they want to keep him and sign him to an extension or something moving forward. They have not done that yet. So there could be some contract frustration, or this could just be a legitimate injury that keeps him out the first week of camp and then he's back next week or something. I have no idea at this point.
Quay was absent first OTA's practice on, does June 3rd sound right?
Let me check. So June 3rd would have been Tuesday, which I believe was an OTA. That was okay. That was an OTA. I don't know. I think that would have been the third OTA practice that was open to the media. I'm trying to see if I can double check this. So there was an OTA on May 28th that was open.
May 28th. Okay.
There was a OTA on June 3rd that was open. And then the following week was mini camp. So there should have been one the week of, okay, like the
28th was the first day.
Hold on one second.
Sorry.
You're good. I feel like it must have been. So I think 28th would have been the first day. I'm going to double check that while I.
Quay was injured on the 28th practice.
Yeah, he was and on the bike that day, if I remember correctly.
He was missing from
on the following ones.
On the June 3rd practice.
Yep.
So I think that's what confused me was the change in status. I remember there was a change in status at some point.
Yep.
So, okay. That's making sense. So this might have been going for a while then. So this might be like a thing.
Yeah, it's either an injury that's been lingering or it's a contract situation that has been lingering. Which one it is, I don't know. Tough to say for sure. But and I'm really bothered because...
But he can't even get fined for holding out. So that doesn't really make sense, right?
Yeah. There should have been one more OTA in there somewhere. I don't know where the heck it is, but there should be one more because there's 3 weeks of OTA. Or no, is there 2 weeks? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Either way. Yeah, there was definitely a change in status and he definitely was not at mini camp, at least that we saw it all, even though, again, allegedly he was there. That's our Quay Walker update for the day, I guess. Other transactions, Alex Hale was released on Tuesday. Not sure that there's anything major there other than it was a freak injury. And it sounds like they want to bring in another kicker because they don't want McManus to do all of the kicking in camp. So I would expect another kicker to be signed, even though it feels like a little bit of a wasted roster spot, but I guess they don't feel the same way.
Yeah, I would actually, as a former high school special teams coordinator, right, would actually be interested in hearing out what the process for that is. I would guess that when they're talking about not wanting to have one guy kick the entire time, what they're probably talking about is kickoffs, the days that it's doing kickoff returns and stuff. I don't think it's, you know, field goal attempts or anything like that. I would guess that it would be kickoffs and trying to save their legs from that aspect.
Jugs machine, like the whole jugs machine thing for that.
Oh, but it's so different off of a ball, Andy. It's so fair different enough. Off of a ball. I don't know. Guys are weird about this type of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the issue. It opens up an IPP spot. So there's been conflicting things about the El Grisma situation. I was told one thing, another person was told another thing about whether he has eligibility on, you know, the international exemption, basically. If it's not El Grisma, then they have an IPP spot open right now. And then two more roster spots. If correct. My count is correct. Yeah. We've had like three transactions happen in like the past, like 3 or 4 days. And I'm trying to keep them straight. I believe the count is three open roster spots. Two that can be used on a non-international player.
Yeah, so they had open a roster spot. Then they released two players in Nesta Jade Silvera and Cameron Young. So that both left them
with defensive tackles, by the way.
Yep, both defensive tackles. So that left them with three open roster spots. Then the report is that they signed wide receiver Will Shepard. That has not been confirmed by the team, but that is per Jordan Schultz. Will Shepard will be added to the roster. So that would be two roster spots. Then they cut Alex Hale, which should open up that international slot as well. So two spots plus an international slot still open at this point in time as we're recording. We'll be right back.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see if they use the IPP slot to bring in an international guy, or if they're going to bring in a kicker and figure out the international thing down the road. The way Silverstein reported it was, you know, they want to have another guy in camp, and depending on what that looks like, that might decide what the future of Hale is going to be. Got an eye injury working out. Did he like hit his
doing like, bicep curls and just boom?
I was thinking of things that you can hit with your eye. Maybe the first time that sentence has ever been uttered, but like maybe on like a bench press, like you just like, you know, you bend down or something like that and not knock the corner of it when you're like standing by it or something like that. I don't know what the heck happened, but it doesn't sound good.
It's like a very baseball injury of like salad tongs or some random thing were involved and some random, like there's always weird baseball injuries. Football, you don't see it quite as much, baseball more, but I get an international kicker. This feels about right for the ending of an international kicker of an eye injury.
Aussie too. Are we trusting the Aussie? Like, oh yeah, I hurt my eye.
He got in a fight with a kangaroo out. Is what happened. Yeah. That's exactly what happened. So yeah, that's where we're at. Any thoughts on Cam Young or Nesta Jade Silvera getting released?
Nesta Jade Silvera, not so much. I mean, he was always like a deep down in the roster type of guy. You know, was always that like reserve futures type of dude, would get in at the end of preseason games. I never really saw flashes. Like he just never stood out one way or another to me. Young is a former draft pick who's actually seen a little bit of time in the NFL. He's not a big guy. Like he's a little bit smaller for the nose tackle type, but he has played nose tackle at the NFL level. He was like 210 or 310, sorry, or something like that.
Packers having a 210 nose tackle would be too on brand. Like it would just be perfect. 210.
But I thought maybe he could add some competition to that nose tackle room, because we've talked about how shallow the depth is there with, you know, you basically have Nasir Stackhouse and Will Brinson, who are kind of competing to be Kenny Clark's backup this year. At this point, they're the only like big bodies that they like nose tackle type bodies that they have. So lukewarm surprised on that one. Nesta Jade Silvera, not really surprised at all. I mean, it's just kind of what happens. I'm not surprised that they brought in a wide receiver either. When I did work for the XFL, I learned way too much about how offseason rosters work and what type of players actually get cut and don't get brought back on the practice squad and things like that. One thing that became very apparent very quickly to me was teams way oversign on wide receivers just to have them to be able to run routes and have fresh legs and stuff like that in training camp when, you know, you might have four quarterbacks throwing the ball. Teams go big numbers wise on wide receivers that they do not really plan on keeping. So, you know, maybe he has a shot at the practice squad or something like that. I know he was like a borderline drafted guy when he was ranked on like the consensus draft board and stuff like that. He initially signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as an undrafted free agent. They failed him for a physical or with his physical. Then he got a rookie tryout with the Denver Broncos during minicamp. Actually, it wasn't their rookie minicamp, like their actual minicamp. They didn't end up signing him, and now he's in Green Bay. So I guess a little bit damaged goods. Don't know much about the guy. He's, you know, your prototypical Packers receiver from a frame standpoint. Like he's over 6 foot. He's 200 pounds. Matt LaFleur loves those guys, right? Yeah. Like those are the guys who block. That's great. I saw you ran like a 4.58 or something 40. That's not so good. That's not so good.
But Packers have found guys like that in the past. Yeah. I'm with you. I think this is probably, you know, his best case is a practice squad. Probably not the ideal spot to end up if you're a wide receiver in Green Bay's roster right now, but anything you can do
it's
to
July
get out there.
July 21st. It's yes, July exactly. 21st. So it's this or XFL or Canada or UFL or Canada. So
yep, take what you can get at this point. Beggars cannot be choosers. That is absolutely for sure. Injured lists were interesting. You had Watson, Walker, Colin Oliver, Micah Robinson, and John Williams on the PUP list. And then you had Alex Hale on the NFI list. Of course, he is now gone. And then Amar Johnson, Elgton Jenkins, the other two. I mean, overall, what, 7 players now remaining that are actually on an injured list. Players who did not finish minicamp that were hurt at some point in minicamp included Jaden Reed, Kamal Haddon, Omar Brown, Kalen King, Zane Anderson, Aaron Banks, Julian Hicks, Rasheed Walker, Travis Glover, and Savion Williams. Well, I guess Williams was at least in the red practice jersey. Those 10 all were not on list, which I thought was overall good news. Like, I kind of took away.
King seems like the biggest surprise now that I think about it, because he was in the cast, right?
Although the expectation was with that he was going to be ready to go for training camp. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how or why, but that was the expectation. But either way, I think still good news in the fact that Haddon and King are good to go. Like, I mean, there was a world in which, I mean, at the end of minicamp, Haddon, King, and Micah Robinson all were not practicing. You're like, those are numbers 4, 5, and 6. That's probably not great. So at least 2 of those guys are back.
Yeah. We need 2 of you guys to make the roster, guys.
At minimum, yes.
Gregory Jr. or whatever. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that would not have been a good situation. I nothing of note there other than like it's weird that all the late round picks are all banged up, right? That's just kind of an unfortunate luck. Like, pretty much anyone drafted after like the Texas edge rusher, right, is hurt.
Thankfully, Brinson is not. He is back and good to go. But
he's back, but he was hurt.
He was hurt in minicamp too. Yeah, it's been a little bit snake bit. That's for sure. I'd be remiss not to ask you, after we've talked about it so much, about Anthony Belton finally signing his contract. That did very much domino. It was a little bit different than we expected. It kind of bopped all over the place and did start in the middle, which is not something at least I was expecting, but then it kind of all got around and a lot of guarantees. Belton did not get a full guarantee, but still got a pretty big increase from the guarantee the year before.
Yeah. Chuck, which again, we always knew was kind of going to be a tent pole because he was a quarterback. He was picked, I think he was like the 8th pick in the 2nd round. From Chuck forward, all those guys got guaranteed deals other than Quinshon Judkins, he was picked like 4th in the 2nd round, the running back for Cleveland Browns. He's dealing with a domestic violence situation right now. He was arrested for that last weekend. Like not this past weekend, the weekend before that. So I think that situation is going to take some time to resolve, but everyone else got fully guaranteed contracts. Basically what it boiled down to when I was looking over the quick lists of the like actual confirmed numbers, was basically like everyone's draft slot was getting about like $2 million more guaranteed, which on a rookie contract means a lot. That's a significant amount of money. So yeah, the market has certainly moved up. I would need to relook at all these contracts. I don't think all of them have been filed with the league and stuff like that to really get a handle on it. But my broad brushstroke explanation is, yeah, 2nd round picks got about $2 million more. So they kind of, won this staring match.
And from a Packers standpoint, at least from a fan standpoint, just happy that Belton is in some sort of situation where he's not going to be practicing for a week. Just happy to have that done. And especially with Jenkins potentially not out there, the more depth and competition you can have along the offensive line. We don't know what's going to happen with John Williams now. So it's a little bit more interesting than maybe it was at one point, but either way you want Belton out there and practicing.
Yeah, for sure. And for reference, you can't sign the injury waivers for training camp. So, mini camp, OTAs, rookie minicamp, you have the option to like sign a waiver that is basically like, yeah, I'll practice. You just have to negotiate with me in good faith, right? If I get injured or something like that, because I don't have a deal yet, that goes away once training camp starts. It's either you have a contract or you're not practicing. That's it. Yeah. It's binary.
Pretty cut and dry. Before we get you out of here, some other NFL news. Watt gets his extension. Karlaftis gets his extension. Will Levis out for the year. Anything move the needle for you? Anything super interesting?
I think the Karlaftis stuff makes the Gary deal look better for sure. I thought that was a lot of money for him. Kansas City, where's Kansas City getting this money? They gave Creed Humphrey, record-breaking money at center. They gave Trey Smith record-breaking money at guard. And now Karlaftis is being paid like a top 10 pass rusher. If you're just looking at it from like an average salary standpoint, you know, and it's ranking down, Karlaftis isn't as good as his average salary right now. But like guys like Michael Parsons are about to get paid and all that stuff. And
yeah,
you guys know it's all about when you sign. When you sign, you're going to be the highest you're ever going to be. And then, you know, you start moving down that list, right? It's just kind of the nature of the beast in the NFL. But I think it makes the Gary deal look a little bit more valuable, and it kind of shows you how the edge market is moving and all that stuff. One thing that's going to be really interesting to monitor moving forward. So the way that franchise tags work is it takes the average like top cap hits from the previous five seasons, right? But now with the cap so rapidly accelerating and it's going up $25 million per year, that can actually be like a really suppressed number now. Because if you're signing a deal, if you're debating whether you want to get franchise tagged in 2026, right, or sign a contract right now, you're calculating money from 2021.
Yeah,
right. That's crazy. When the league was still coming off of, you know, the COVID salary cap situation and all that stuff, you know, 2020 fans weren't allowed to be in the stands. You're losing money on ticket revenue, all those things, right? All the increased costs and stuff for compliance and things like that. I do wonder if like more of these guys are just going to continue signing with their teams, and it's just not going to move markets up super, super high because guys are not hitting free agency. So again, what's going to happen is mid-level players, the starters who have not made all pros, the starters who have not made pro bowlers, the starters who are not quarterbacks, right? Those are the guys who are going to get a lot of money. And that's why you see a Jamin Sherwood linebacker who a lot of people didn't know until March when they started seeing him on free agency lists and were like, who's this guy who started for 1 year and why is he making $15 million a year? Like, I think you're going to continue to see that moving forward. And
Paulson Adebo, our guy, big contract in New York. Yeah. Another example
off of a fractured leg and all that stuff, which is the only reason why he was available. Otherwise the Saints probably would have paid him too. So
the last big free agent signings, maybe ever, Saquon Barkley and Xavier McKinney. Thank you, New York Giants, for your contribution.
And Josh Jacobs. How dare you?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Josh Jacobs as well. So thank you, Raiders as well. Justice, the next time we talk, we will be talking about actual Packers football that takes place at training camp. The pads
will be on. Thank the Lord.
I know. The pads will be on at this time next week. Hopefully you've got a couple more college football Hail Marys in you up until hopefully you don't need them. You know, come on, step your game up that you don't need a Hail Mary at the end of the national championship to win. Hopefully you enjoy this next couple of days and then enjoy it even more once we get to training camp. Anything you want to plug on the way out?
Yes, I do.
Do it.
Our friend, Tyler Brook.
Glad you brought this up.
Our friend, Tyler Brook, I know he's been on the show before. He does good work. He just launched a YouTube channel that you can find. The title of it is Best Available. You can find it, you know, just type in Tyler Brook, Best Available. You'll be able to get to it. Go support him. He does very good work. If you're the type of person who likes listening to Andy and I, you will like what Tyler has to say about football.
Could not agree more. Could not co-sign more. As awesome as Tyler is at breaking down X's and O's in football, he's even a better person. He's gone through
great dude.
Yes.
Great dude.
And he's gone through the just most heartbreaking just series of layoffs and things that he cannot control. Not to mention that he's a Pacers fan as well, which he just had to go through his own personal hell of that end of the season with a end of year that I would not wish upon any fan base not named Minnesota or Chicago. I feel for Tyler in a lot of different ways. He's the best. He covers the Packers. He covers the NFL draft. And definitely go support him over on YouTube. And make sure you're checking him out anytime he puts something new out. Subscribe, like, go give him a comment. Go give him a make sure that you're notified.
Tell him we sent you. Tell him we sent you so he knows.
Yeah, very much so. Make sure that he knows that Andy and Justice sent him over his way. But no, Tyler's the best. So make sure to go and do that. I cannot co-sign that enough. Appreciate you doing that. Go follow Justice as well at Acme Packing Company for all of the great stuff that's going to be coming out from a training camp standpoint. They have an incredible team over there as well. Follow him, of course, at JUMOSQ on social media. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.